You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
And welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros. I'm Dave Raymond, and pleased to be joined by Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer, Astros.com. And all right, Brian, it's the winter meetings. Jeff Luhnow's had a couple of years now under his belt. He's shaping this roster and really an organizational philosophy. How far along the process is he on that, and what do you expect that they'll be doing at these winter meetings?
I think we've seen some of the strides they've made. I mean, a lot has been written about their minor league system getting so much better. But finally, we saw some improvement at the major league level last season, winning 19 more games. Now, there was nowhere to go but up after you win 51 games. But the fact that they did win 19 more games, I mean, that's a step in the right direction. And this is going to be an interesting winter because they have some money to spend. The TV revenue they have that they didn't have for a couple of years. So they're going to be pretty active in the market, I think, to fill some of their big needs. Relief pitching is obviously at the top of their list because their bullpen was kind of a mess. So I think the Astros will be pretty active.
Boy, you make a really good point, because that TV situation that they were in for the last couple of years was a real anchor. And now that they have that straightened out, they've got the income coming in now. They made a play at Andrew Miller. Now, it didn't work out, but who else might be on the radar then for them in the bullpen?
Well, David Robertson's the name you hear a lot. They're certainly interested in him. Yeah, Andrew Miller, they offered 4 years, $40 million, which was more than the Yankees offered. But at the end of the day, Miller went to the Yankees. And that's one of the things the Astros have to fight, I think, is the free agents don't view it, I think, as the top guys is a place to come, Houston a destination. I think that'll change once they start winning. And I think once they sign that first free agent, I think maybe some other people will be like, okay, maybe it's not so bad. But, I think David Robertson would be one. They would lose a draft pick, but they have multiple draft picks early. Their top two picks are protected, so that's not an issue. Luke Gregerson's another name that they've had interest in. He doesn't have experience closing, but, they could put him in the mix. And I think he's a guy that wants to close. He was behind Heath Bell in Houston Street, so it would be his first opportunity. But I think at the end of the day, if they had their choice, it would be David Robertson as their closer.
Anybody on the block potentially they feel like they have value in, might be able to move and pick up a good piece at these meetings?
Yeah, the name to watch, I think, in that would be Dexter Fowler. He's going into his final year before free agency. He's due to make probably $9 million in arbitration. And then they have options in center field. They have George Springer, who's probably a better center fielder than Dexter Fowler. Jake Marisnyk, who they acquired in a trade last year with the Marlins, he can play center field. So, I don't think they're actively looking to move Fowler right now, but I think if they got a trade proposal, I think they would. Another, if you look at their catching situation, they have four catchers on their major league roster. They acquired Conger, so I think Carlos Corporan could be moved. Jason Castro's name has come up, but if you trade Castro, you're going to have to go find a starting catcher. But I think Dexter Fowler's the one that we need to watch on as far as trades.
You mentioned Jason Castro, and I've heard the name, trickle out there every now and then.
Right.
How big an impact would that make on their backstop situation?
It'd make a big impact because you have Hank Conger and Carlos Corporan, who they're backup catchers. I mean, that's what they are, and nothing wrong with that. But if they trade Castro, they're going to have to go get a front end catcher somewhere, and that's not going to be easy to do. So, Castro's a guy now who's in his second year of arbitration. Mm-hmm. Money's starting to get up there. Did not have a great year at the plate, but I don't think they'll trade him just because of what I said. I mean, they would have to go out and get another catcher unless they think Conger can be a starter. But, at 27 years old and he's been a backup all his career, I think that's his role.
I don't know if I want to mix two streams on this one or not, but shortstop, let's go with two themes here. One is, Carlos Correa, how close may he be? And then you're hearing the name Jed Lowry as a potential return for the Houston Astros, and he was pretty good for them when he was there.
Yeah.
Where do you think they come down on that position right now?
Well, whoever they get to play shortstop, which is a need, I think will be a stopgap until Correa gets here. I mean, Correa, I thought, would have been the opening day shortstop next year had he not been injured. He was probably going to go to Double-A Corpus Christi within days before he got injured, broke his leg in the middle of the season. So he's going to have to go to Double-A probably to start the year, Triple-A. So I don't think we can bank on seeing Correa in 2015. But if you look at the production they got from Jonathan Villar and Marwin Gonzalez, just not what you need as a shortstop, I think, to take that next step. So Larry's a name that could come in there and play. Third base is a need. Larry can play third base as well. But, Larry had I think he liked it in Houston. A.J. Hinch, their manager, is a Stanford guy. Those Stanford guys like to hang together. So, but I think it would be a good fit for a lot of reasons. But definitely, you know, Larry did not have a great year last year with the A's. When he was in Houston, I think he played pretty well.
All right, well, we'll segue with you there. You mentioned A.J. Hinch's name. So tell us a little bit about Hinch and, you know, how that piece came together and how you see that relationship with Jeff Luhnow.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. You know, we all know that Bo Porter and Luhnow did not see eye to eye. And, you know, Bo went on to another job now with the Braves. But, you know, it's I think that Luhnow and Hinch are very much in lockstep on everything they do. In fact, the day before the winter meetings, Luhnow was at his house in San Diego. I mean, I think they've developed a very tight bond. And AJ's done everything there is to do in baseball pretty much. He was an interim GM. So he's going to be involved more than I think most managers are in stuff in the day-to-day roster decisions and at the winter meetings and things like that. So, and I think Jeff welcomes that. I think he likes having a manager who he can talk to on his level as far as knowing about the inner workings of agents and players. And AJ's done it all. So I think after he butted heads with Porter, I think his number one goal was to bring in a guy that he really knew he could trust and get along with, and it was very capable for the job.
That's pretty interesting because a lot of the general managers, the new wave of general managers, if you will, who rely so heavily on the metrics, it seems as if they're always working against that old institution, and that you want, you know, a lot of times it's as if they're looking for somebody they can control. But you're saying in this case, you think it'll be a really open two-way street between the two?
Yeah, I think it's a very good partnership. Yeah. It's kind of unique. I don't know. We haven't seen anything like this in Houston before. But, you know, who knows what will happen down the road, you know, when 2 or 3 years, if things aren't going as well, you know, who knows. But, you know, I definitely think they're in lockstep, and it's going to be interesting to see that relationship develop as we go forward.
Well, how much more room does Jeff Luhnow have? I mean, is there pressure in Houston for him to start producing? We see some fruits from this you know, change in philosophy?
I think so. I mean, you can only talk about our minor league system has gotten better. Our minor league system is good for so long. The fans are like, well, we don't live in Oklahoma City or Corpus. We live in Houston. We want to see these guys here. And we saw that last year with Springer coming up, Fulton Evich coming up. So, you know, I think the ownership is still very much behind Luhnow. They did improve by 19 games. He has revamped the farm system. So he's on the right track, I think. But I think this will be a big year to continue that development. And guys like Jonathan Singleton, who came up, he's going to have to improve. And Fulton Evich, is he going to be a reliever? He's going to have to contribute. Now that these prospects are coming up, they need to start contributing like Springer did, because some of them came up and didn't do so well. So that's going to be the next step, as well as trying to find the veterans to put around them.
Singleton disappointing. Dominguez is not real productive at third base for them. You know, they want the youth to come up and be a part of this. But Mark Appel, you know, the 1-1, and you, I don't want to say that you can't miss on a 1-1, but boy, there's a lot of pressure for that guy to eventually be a big time contributor. And I know there was plenty of news around him last year. What's it looking like for him so far in this offseason?
Crazy year for Mark Appel. Man. You know, he had the appendectomy, missed all of spring, went to extended spring training, couldn't pitch in Lancaster, all that stuff that everyone knows about. But at the end of the day, he went to the Arizona Fall League and pitched really, really well. And I think the Astros were very happy. His velocity was there. He was hitting 97, 98, still learning to pitch a little bit. You know, I think professional ball was kind of an eye-opening experience, getting the ball every fifth day as opposed to once a week when you're at Stanford. It took him a while to adjust to that. But I think what he did at Arizona in the Fall League and pitching so well, I think has gotten himself back on track a little bit. He's going to come to big league camp. I don't think he'll compete for a spot in the rotation out of spring training, but I do think that if he'll start in AAA, and I think if he goes to AAA and puts up, you know, a good month, 2 months, I think we'll see Mark Appel in Houston in 2015. I'd be surprised that he doesn't. I mean, let's be honest, that would be 2 years after being drafted. You want your 1-1 2015 on your major league roster and producing.
The Astros have, in recent years, gotten away with spending much less money than most franchises, in part because they're making this transition, and, you know, they felt like they had room, I believe, to make that kind of a move, much like the 76ers are doing in the NBA right now. But that offer to Andrew Miller was robust. How much do you see them increasing the payroll this year?
I think it will increase by about $20 million. They finished last year around $50 million, so you're going to $70 million. That puts them more in the middle of the pack. You're still not the $100 million that we saw a few years ago, but I think to be in contention, they're going to have to spend $100 million at some point. But I don't think they're at that point yet. I mean, what good would it be for them to go out and have a $100 million payroll when maybe you're 2 years from contention. But they're going to open up the purse strings a little bit, you know, $20 million. The offer they made to Andrew Miller would have been, he would have been making $10 million a year, so there would still be some room to add some other guys. So with the TV revenue now coming in, that's going to be like $60 million a year. And maybe if they end up making a trade, Dexter Fowler, we mentioned, is going to make $9 million. That could give them some more payroll flexibility. But all along, Jim Crane said, we're going to rebuild the farm system. We're not going to spend money until those guys have come up and they're contributing, and we've got to fill some holes. And we're starting to see that now.
All right, Brian, one bold prediction as we wrap it up. Anything you think you'll see that might surprise folks in these next couple of days here in San Diego?
Well, I think we talked about Jed Lowry earlier. If the Astros get Jed Lowry, I think that would be surprising in that he'd been there before. He had some run-ins with the Astros last year on the field. I think that was more to do with Bo Porter than anything. But I think him coming back to Houston would be kind of surprising, but also a symbol that maybe people are starting to believe the Astros are on the right track. You can go there, and in a couple of years, they're going to probably be winning some games.
Okay. Great stuff as always, Brian. Stay busy.
Always. You too.
Yeah, always good to see you. All right. Brian McTaggart, I'm Dave Raymond, and we thank you. MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros.
Celebrate the holidays with the official online shop of Major League Baseball, the MLB.com shop. Give the gift of baseball to the whole family with jerseys, caps, outerwear, menswear, women's and kids' wear, collectibles, and home decor. MLB.com has gifts for all the baseball fans on your list, now with free ground shipping on all orders over $50. Do your holiday shopping now at MLB.com/shop.